Hello, I'm Niall Kahn, and this is the P-Pro Podcast. This week on the show, I'm excited to sit down with Jens Beda, Chief Commercial Officer and one of the co-founders of Much Better. Jens talks about what differentiates Much Better from other e-wallets in the market and the importance of offering local payment methods to fund e-wallets. And now, my interview with Jens. Welcome to the P-Pro Podcast. Thank you for being here. We're currently in a little closet. There's a little bit of sound going on outside, but Jens, please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Niall. So, well, thanks for the opportunity to share some of my thoughts today here in this closet. So my name is Jens Beda. I work for a company called Much Better. It's a new payment wallet in the form of a mobile application. Personally, I've been in payments for about 25 years now. I've never done anything else but online payments. I doubt I could do anything else, really. I worked for a number of different companies, and with this company, Much Better, we started about 2 years ago, and we've been commercially operational for about 14 months, and it's an exciting journey, and it really feels we're doing the right thing.
How many users does Much Better actually have?
We're around 150,000 active customers at the moment. I give you an indication a bit on how this is basically distributed across the countries. Our most active market is Canada, and then closely followed by Germany, and then Brazil, and then a very exotic one really for us, India. So
what kind of payment methods are you getting into India?
So India, we're using crypto a lot,
okay.
Right? We're using bank transfers as well. And we're trying to use cards, but we don't see much success. As you know, the card schemes are, a very challenging sort of topic at the moment when it comes to gaming. So not very successful with cards there. So yeah, 150,000 customers, growing at a rate of about 1,500 to 2,000 customers a day, new signups. And then we're integrated right now, and the Much Better payment option is available with about 120 different gaming brands actively using us, and some of the largest names out there that have come on board quite early. So that is basically a testament that there's a lot of confidence in what we do and credibility, and that people trust our product, and it's been taken off really, really well. So the company is doing exceptional at the moment.
What differentiates Much Better from the other competition on the market?
So we felt that the market is requiring a new sort of more convenient payment option in general, not just for gaming. And given the technology and given the technological capabilities that you have today, we felt we can build a better product, a second generation e-wallet that people can really use across any sort of payment situation. And we've just used existing technology like tokenization, host card emulation, e-money, NFC, all the good things out there, crypto. We stick it together in a smart way, and we build one of the most usable and user-friendly sort of payment products out there. What Much Better allows you to do as a customer is actually make payments online, make payments in-store, send money to friends, request money, split bills. So basically, we're trying to have a tool available for customers to be able to move money to wherever they want to move money to. It almost makes payment fun. Why is it Much Better? Why the name, and why is it actually Much Better? As I say, it's the convenience, the customer journey that we built based on the technology we use. We made it very easy to use, but at the same time highly secure, which I think in that form is not existing in the market. So we don't ask customers for passwords, redirects, logins, usernames, no security question, maiden name of my mother, doesn't exist, I'm not a robot, all these things are gone. We're using biometric authentication only, and that means it's a one-touch experience for customers to use our payment product, yeah.
Any benefits for the merchant?
For a merchant, we developed a very smart commercial model here for the gaming industry. So as you know, a gaming operator would pay a fee every time money moves in or out. And we felt that this is a negative effect for merchants, because not always is paying out a customer a revenue-generating activity, but it generates costs. So we said, why don't we net off all the payouts from the pay-ins? So what we do is we look at the per-customer level every month, and we say this customer has transacted towards a merchant, a gaming operator, of 10,000 euros, but in the same month he's taken out 7,000 euros back to the much better wallet. So we're not charging for the 10,000, we're not charging for the 7, we're definitely not charging for the 17, we're charging for the net difference. That means we're netting off the 7,000 of the 10, that leaves us with 3,000, and then we apply our fee on that, and that is what the gaming operator would be paying for processing costs to us. So basically, our wallet turns out to be about 70 to 75% cheaper than any other payment option out there.
That's interesting. So you have kind of like a dynamic pricing scheme for
exactly. So it's purpose built for the industry, which is I would say it's pioneering. No one else has done it before. Everybody goes in with the normal sort of, you pay me a percentage and a fixed fee. We said we make it 100% basically dependent on the performance of our payment option. If a customer uses us to transfer 100,000 into the gaming account and then 120,000 out because he's a winner, then that basically means the operator's not paying anything for that. So we moved almost a quarter of a million in that scenario without generating any costs for the operator. And that is one of the reasons why the operators love us and why they actually proactively push a lot of their high-stake players and high-rollers into our product rather than using other wallets.
One of the reasons why we sat down today is just to talk about local payment methods, mm-hmm. like Molca de Banco or so forth. How would you grade their importance for Much Better?
Very important. So Much Better has a global approach. We're available in 160 countries at the moment. That means people in 160 countries can download our app and open an account. And obviously, we need to give people the ability to fund their accounts, and that's where the local payment options come in. So right now, we're using about close to 70 different payment options, which we basically got supplied from partners. And they're very important. I would say that about 60%, maybe 65% of the total money that comes into our system are actually processed through alternative local payment methods and not the traditional international card schemes. Very important are the bank-based alternatives, like real-time online banking systems such as Giropay, Verkkopankki, for example, in Finland, or an Ideal in the Netherlands, obviously. These are the very popular known ones. But we're very, very good, for example, in Brazil, where we do about 80% of all our payments just exclusively through local alternative payment methods.
That 80%, that's a very impressive number. Yeah. Are there any other countries that have very high usage of alternative payment methods or local payment methods?
Depends a bit on the definition of alternative, but let's say Germany, we see three-quarter of the traffic coming through, combined through Giropay, SoFort, and a cash method that we're using, and only 25% is cards. I would say Ideal in the Netherlands, if you count this as an alternative, is probably 70% of our business in the Netherlands. We're using iDebit, and we're using Interac in Canada. Probably not really your typical sort of alternative as you would define it. Yeah, we're using, for example, Yandex and Kiwi in Russia as alternative wallets to fund our wallet, and that's very popular as well. And then we use Boleto in Brazil, which without Boleto, we wouldn't be in Brazil.
That's really interesting. So if you did not have local payment methods at all, it would
we
almost be
impossible. We could do what we're doing. We would not be in the market today where we are. We could not have that proposition to customers. We would not be attractive to merchants.
You said you're in how many countries at the moment?
160.
160. And you're obviously looking to expand ever further, right?
Yeah, well, there's not many left, really. The ones left are either sanctioned, very difficult and challenging to operate in, or we require additional licenses, such in the United States, where you need to go for your own money transmitter licenses in a state-by-state approach, which is obviously a very costly and timely sort of exercise. So we haven't tackled the US yet. That's the biggest market we're missing. But we want to go into Asia this year, later this year, more focus on Asia, become more localized, and that again means having more payment products available there and making it easier for people to use our product.
Very good. All right, well, Jens, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. Been a pleasure, right?
Absolutely. All right, until next time. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can follow PPRO on Twitter and Instagram with @PPRO_payments. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe on iTunes. And if you have any topics that you think would make for a good episode, send an email into podcast@PPRO.com. Until next time.